Welcome to the Tweet Trends Podcast. Hey, Yvette, what's trending today?
Hey, I'm Yvette.
Hey, girl.
And you are tuned into Tweet Trends. It's the quickest way to find out what's trending today. Hey, come closer. Shh. Please don't mention anything about today being Collect Rocks Day to my daughter. We're going to talk about something else today instead. Welcome back to Tweet Trends. Today is National Tattoo Story Day. Let's get started. Okay, so today is National Tattoo Story Day, and I decided to use this as my focus, although I don't have Tattoo the First. But I have tattoo stories and I would love to share them with you. So just to tell you a little bit about the fact that I'm not a tattoo person, I like skin. I love the look of it, the feel of it, and I prefer it to be like it was when you were born, not with all the extra artwork on it. Now, don't get me wrong, I have no problem with the artistry and all the designs and whatnot that you would see in a tattoo. I have seen some absolutely beautiful tattoos on people. And I think that's great. I just prefer my artwork to be on the wall and not on my body. Call me fickle, I don't know, but I know how I am. And if I got a tattoo today, I may not want that same tattoo there a week from then. And so to save myself the mental stress and anguish of feeling regret and remorse, I'm like, you know what? Just don't do it, vet. Stick to the removable tattoos. And you can get a different tattoo every day in a different part of your body, and you will be just fine. And this leads me to my first tattoo story. When I was in middle school, yes, my first tattoo story starts when I was in middle school. And it wasn't that I wanted a tattoo. I wanted to start a tattoo business. So here's the story. My aunt sold sweetgrass baskets down in the market in Charleston, and I looked at that as my in. My aunt was my in to a business because I wanted to start a removable tattoo business and have it housed down at the market. And what I would do is I would have a table and with all my removable tattoos there. Somebody comes up, they see one they want, they pick it out. And then I wanted to have a pop-up dressing room that we would then go into the little dressing room, and that way they don't have to expose themselves to people in the market or the elements. Wherever they want to put the tattoo, we can put it there and, you know, have the money exchange. If you want to buy some for the road, by all means, go ahead and do it. And bam, there you have it. That's my business. I even kind of ask my aunt, like, hey, so I don't know if they'll rent a spot to a middle schooler. So can I just bring my removable tattoo business down to your table? And she's like, no, ma'am, you may not. And it wasn't so much that she wasn't seeing my vision. They had rules down there that you couldn't combine a table with completely different things. Basically, the market wanted their money. And so you're not going to come down there and have a table with completely opposite type items and think that you're going to call it a business and sell the stuff. Just wasn't going to happen. So I never did start my removable tattoo business. And, you know, and it bothered me because I would see these removable tattoos in the back of the teen magazines that I used to read. And, you know, I'm pricing them and looking at them like, oh man, I could do this. I really could. And when I tell you I was kicking myself maybe 2 months down the line because this new thing of removable tattoos became a huge thing where everybody was wearing removable tattoos. Like, they had the same feeling that I did. Like, I'm not willing to commit to a permanent tattoo, but a temporary one, sure, I can do that. Kids can do temporary tattoos. You know, babies can do a temporary tattoo if they want one. And I missed my shot. That was my opportunity to start my first business as a middle schooler, being the owner of a removable tattoo studio down at the market in Charleston, South Carolina. But yeah, it didn't happen. Fast forward to college. My roommate and I, shout out to Peace, we made a trip to Atlanta. I'm pretty sure it was probably to go to Freaknik. And if you don't know about Freaknik, then hey, I got nothing. What happens in Freaknik stays in Freaknik. But we took a trip to Atlanta. And while we were there, just out of the blue one day, she said, you know, I've always wanted to get a tattoo. I think I want to get a tattoo. Let's go find a tattoo parlor. Don't you want to get a tattoo? It's like, no, I don't, but I will help you find one. And if you want to get one, girl, knock yourself out. Okay. So the first place we go to, it was scary. It was like going into the Batcave. It was this dark place and they had all these drawings on the walls, and the guy that was there that was doing the tattoos was like this big burly biker dude guy, and honestly he had zero patience on a scale of 1 to 10. He was a negative 55. I'm telling you, this man was the scariest person I'd run into in ever. He had zero patience, and I guess bottom line was he just didn't appreciate people that looked like us coming into his establishment wanting to get a tattoo and not knowing immediately, I want this and put it here. And, you know, we had nothing. We were green as a cucumber, and he just, yeah, we left that place. We did not go. Because my thing to her was, I'm afraid if you get a tattoo here, he's going to use a dirty needle. Because he really does not seem like he wants us in here. He doesn't want your business. He doesn't want your money. He wants you out of here. So let's go and find a different place. So we found a different place. And this next place was absolutely awesome. The people there were saints because they put up with the shenanigans of my roommate as she hollered and hooted and sang throughout the entire ordeal of her getting this tattoo. Now, while we were there, I did toss around the idea of getting a body piercing, but it took so long and it was such a stressful situation for her going through with this doggone tattoo. By the time she was done with it, I was ready to go. I'm like, you know what? Let's just go. I'm done. I can't stay here any longer. You got your tattoo. Yay. Now let's get out of here. And so that was my second tattoo story. And once again, it has nothing to do with me actually getting a tattoo, but the fact that I was there and I had to hold her hand and sing with her and try to take her mind off of it, it was just kind of crazy. And then so because of all of this and thinking back to that story, I decided to do a little bit of research into the history of tattoos. And this right here is amazing. Let me tell you about it. So the research that I did, I started it because of Maui from Moana. I know that there are people out there that have tribal type tattoos that have meaning behind it. And I was interested in what their process was like. So I focused my attention on Samoa. And it was really good information that I saw. It was amazing and mind-boggling all at the same time. The fact that the skill of doing traditional tattoos, applying them, is passed from father to son, and their sons would spend sometimes days practicing their technique. Like, this isn't on a person. This is on like bark cloth or something, or in the sand. And, you know, so a lot of time and energy went into being able to do this, because you can imagine if somebody is going to put a tattoo on you, you want them to have really done a good job at practicing and being a good study of how to do it the right way so that I don't die. Bottom line, I don't want to die from a tattoo. So on top of that, these tattoos, they were extremely painful, and the risk of death by infection was a really big thing. But people would endure it because if you didn't, then you'd be marked as a coward. You'd be, you know, ostracized in a sense where people would see you and see your half-done tattoo and be like, yeah, that one couldn't make it. Now, and both men and women would get these tattoos. Women had much smaller tattoos, maybe on their hand or on their leg, but the men had the go all out, let me show you where I've been, what I've done, who I am, or who I'm about to be. You know, their tattoos were very intricate and had a story behind them, kind of like the situation with Maui. Now, let's talk about these tattooing sessions. They typically lasted until dusk or until the person being tattooed could no longer take the pain. Then the option was come back tomorrow or scrap it completely, tap out, and be like, you know what? They're just going to have to call me a coward because I can't do it. Now, for the ones that were able to do it and would come back again and again, this entire process would often last almost 3 months. I cannot imagine that, but 3 months. And then once they're done with the actual application, then the family and friends of these guys that got these huge tattoos, they would help them take care of the skin, as well as to celebrate with them the fact that they got through the process. Now, the other thing is that because they were so painful, it wasn't just an in the moment being applied to my skin painful. This was an ongoing painful to the point where sometimes walking and sitting would irritate their tattoos. So that's why the whole family joined in to help to try to make things easier on them because they knew the type of pain that they were possibly going through. Now, within 6 months, the designs would begin to appear on their skin, but it would take almost a year for these tattoos to be completely healed. That's the mind-boggling part to me. A year? See, I just don't have that type of mindset that I'm going to invest that much into something that's so painful. I would really have to be Queen Allah for me to go all out and get something like that and go through a year's worth of pain and agony to then let everybody see and know who I am on site. All right, well, that was today's episode of Tweet Trends talking about tattoos. Now, I didn't even get into tattoos in America. So if you're interested, do me a favor, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook at Hey Yvette. That's at HEYEVETTE. Or just look for the hashtag Tweet Trends, and I will put some more information out there, especially about the origins of tattoos in the United States and that sort of thing. I think that story is pretty interesting as well, but I was a little bit more intrigued by that whole year process with the Samoans. Yeah, I had to cover that one. So, like I said, check it out. Have a great weekend, and who knows, if you're feeling froggy, why not go ahead and get a tattoo? And I'll see you back here again on Tuesday.